Everybody, I want to welcome you to a little raw spiel where we keep it real with the hard truth. I'm glad to have with me today our special guest, the lead singer for the Texas Keynotes. It's Pastor Toy Dorsett. I hope I didn't butcher that name too bad. Pastor, how you doing?
I'm good, my brother. I'm good. It's French, man. It gets butchered up all the time, so I'm used to it.
All right.
It's Dorsett, but you nailed it. You nailed it.
All right. I thank you for taking the time out to be a part of this broadcast, to be interviewed, and wherever y'all listening from, however you listen, I want to thank you again for tuning in to the Raw Spiel, and glad to have Mr. Pastor Tony Dorsett of the Texas Keynotes. What you to start off, what you tell us about yourself? How did you get started in the music industry?
Well, Doc, this is interesting because this is going to be this is the first time I've actually been able to tell my story. So I'm honored that you would bring me on, and I hope you feel honored as well. This is the first time I've actually been able to actually tell my full story on my music industry journey. I started singing gospel at the early age of 3 years old. Back in the day when quartets didn't really have little boys singing with them. And my granddad was so fascinated at the gift that God gave me in singing. I really was unable to really keep a note. But just people were just so fascinated that I was able to sing at such a young age with the older gentleman that I sung with a group called the Spiritual Five. They were organized in 1955. So I started singing with my granddad. Granddad had moved from a little town called Palmetto, Louisiana, many years ago, and he used to hear a group sing called the Beaumont Spiritual Singers. On a radio station that is now TV, and they were KFDM radio, and now of course they have one of the number one TV stations in our community in Southeast Texas. So we started singing then at the early age of three years old, and then throughout that I started playing guitar and always had a love for gospel music. And then later on, as I got older, I started playing guitar more and started helping out different groups and singers when they would come into town. And I met a group that was traveling with Mr. Johnson in 95, and they were called Greg Logan and In Christ, and I met up with them and exchanged numbers with them. And it kind of took off from there. And we kept in contact, and they came back into town again. And it just kind of took off after that. I sung with several groups, but that's kind of where it got started, singing with my grandfather, playing guitar with my granddad in the late 70s, early 90s. Early 80s, yes.
Okay. So that group, they still singing now? That Spiritual Fire?
Yes, the Spiritual Five, yes. In fact, I sing with them when I can. Mm-hmm. In fact, when Granddad passed, he asked me to keep the group going. So every so often we do programs, the annual programs that we do together. And then not only did I sing with them, I used to sing with my uncle's group in San Antonio. The name of their group is called the Kings of Harmony, and used to be on TV, a gospel hour TV show with them as a child, and that was so fascinating. That was really one of the big excitements of my life, singing for that stuff. And then again, things just kind of progressed. Started playing with other groups and helping other groups, and the what springboarded is again when I met up with the group Greg Logan and Christ again. I actually left went on the road with them, and then going on the road with them, met back up with Brother Willie Neil Johnson, and Pop we call him, and career took off with the Keynotes shortly after that.
Okay, well, so Marlon, what year were you with the Keynotes?
So the latter part of '96, I played with Mr. Johnson a couple of dates that he had. We was in Syracuse, New York, and in Buffalo, New York, and then we went on into Pennsylvania, and that's when kind of the groups kind of went their separate ways. And the group from New York that traveled with him for a while, we became the keynotes one night for him, for Mr. Johnson, and I played guitar with him that day, and he asked me without a smile on his face, he said, "Son, when you get a chance, I want you to come up to my room and have a talk with me." So we kind of talked, and he said, "Son, you play some good guitar." I said, "So, Mr. Johnson, I've been, playing all my life, and I've been trying to get better at it, and my dream was always to play with you." And he got up. I never will forget the whole conversation, man. He got up and he said, "Well, son, after the first of the year, I'm gonna give you a call. I'm gonna be in touch with you, and maybe that chance may come true." And sure enough, the keyboard player we had with our group got wind that Mr. Johnson needed a guitar player, so he quit the group that I was with and snuck over and started playing with us. That didn't last long, and he said, "I want that guitar player that they had. You need to find out, try to get in contact with him." And the bass player at the time, my good friend Smiley, we call him Smiley. His name is Mike Ellis. He still remember my contact number, and he called for me, and it's been history ever since. And it was a beautiful, beautiful journey. I got starstruck a couple of times being on stage with him because, he was a gentleman that I love so much in the gospel industry. And I remember when I was in Syracuse, I said, "Oh my God, I'm playing for Willie Neil Johnson." And Paul Beasley is on stage with us. I said, "Oh my God." Everybody else came secondary, but it was just those two, man. Growing up as a child, listening to them, it was an amazing, amazing, amazing experience. Amazing experience. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. I tell you, so working with Willie Neil, so what was Willie Neil Johnson like, off stage? And I get what they to do a lot of rehearsals with them, and just give us an idea of what was it like working for Willie Neil Johnson.
Dog, working with Willie Neil Johnson was like working with the Godfather of Soul, man. He knew what he wanted, he knew what he needed to have, and he expected for you to give it to him. What he was off stage, man, he was an awesome guy. He loved to laugh. He loved to enjoy, but when he was serious, he was very serious. He kept me excited about being with him. There were times he had kind of, handle me, chastise me, should I say, And I remember my grandfather. It, you know, everything now is replaying because I I have a lot of family that's in the gospel industry that I don't talk about too much, right? Because my grandparents have always told me, they told me, said, son, you need to make your own mark in this industry. Don't try to live off of someone else's legacy. The old term, the Quartettists used to say, build your own fire. So my granddad told me, he said, son, being out there on the road with Willie, you make sure you listen to him because, you know, he's trying to help you. He's going to help you, you know, and if he tells you to do something, you do it. So my granddad kind of already knew I was a little hot-headed, you know, he was worried about me leaving, but I didn't drift off of what I was taught. I was taught to be obedient to my elders. In fact, I started calling him Pop, and all the guys laughed at me because they all called him Willie, you know. But I felt that he needed to be respected, and calling him Willie was definitely not it. And calling him Mr. Johnson, I felt as if he was a boss of mine. You know, I wanted to, you know, I've always sung with people, and I sung with people that they were like family, right? And I always tell people, be careful with the term, this is just business. Because when you say that term, it's just business, in my theory, that's a dangerous word, because business is not always pretty. But to be on the road with him, it was a joy. We would sit and talk. He would tell me about a lot of old times, and I knew he had probably forgot a lot of things that he had went through, but for the most part, he kept me abreast of things to do and things not to do. And you know, we would laugh, we would joke. I remember one time when he was a little disappointed with me about a situation. We had a guitar player playing with us, and you know, at the time I was trying to prove my state, prove my position. And a lot of guys thought because I was there, oh yeah, well, I can take this guy's spot. And it was always a challenge, you know. But being out on the road, you got to be prepared for that type of stuff because people are always trying to take your job, you know. And I told this guy one night, he didn't have to play with us, and he was fighting to play with us. And Mr. Johnson he's always a man. He did never wanted people to feel like they never had an opportunity to get close to him, you know. And he said, son, you know, we are a caring group. We love people. And we don't ever want to hurt nobody's feelings. And he was a little disappointed with me, and I can respect that because it taught me a lesson, you know, respect people, give people a chance because you never know the impact that you can make on a person's life. And
Well,
yeah, so that was one of the challenges. And ever since then, when I saw how disappointed he was with me, I said I never wanted to get in that position again with him.
just speaking with Pastor Tory Dorsett, the Texas keynote, and you said something here that's gonna segue to the next topic. You said something about business. Now, I overhear some conversations. You know, unfortunately, you know, quartet has always had a bad name. I guess because I get a few groups go from town to town, putting on a show, womanizing, all that stuff. But I've heard conversations where people are tying in ministry, competition, and entertainment. Now they're no nowadays they're very open about it. Some groups say, yeah, you got to put a little got throw a little entertainment in there, don't give people something to look at, things of that nature. So what is your stance on that? We just I know people well, first I think it ought to be, ministry should be what it's all about, but people say, no, it's not just ministry. You got to entertain. You want to keep getting booked. And it's competitive out here. So there's a competition side of it. And there's ministry. So is it really possible to mix those three things together and be effective?
Man, I love your questions. It's a danger to try to mix the two, although people do. It's interesting that you asked that question because I always wanted an opportunity to tell the world that people used to laugh and joke about Willie Neil Johnson and how he would act on stage and how he would be. There are a lot of younger people, and even people in my generation. I was toward the end of the generation where people used to catch the real image, the real Holy Ghost. That was a time where people would grab somebody because they was under the spirit of the power of the Holy Ghost. I remember the times when I was a baby, when I was a kid going to church. Men used to, people would grab them, and I see people laugh about that online and make a joke about the Holy Ghost and how people used to catch the Holy Ghost, or how some people still catch the Holy Ghost and say, "Oh, that don't make no sense." But I grew up in a time when I was growing up in the 80s and late 70s. I saw that firsthand. And people used to be under the Holy Ghost, shouting and praising God, although they had all other things going along with that. But how can you do you mix those two? I'm very afraid to be outside of God's will. And I'm very afraid because when you operate outside of God's will and outside of His way, He can't bless what you have. And I totally understand. And a lot of people thought Willie Neil Johnson was joking, he was clowning, he was doing this. But I knew, learning him and understanding him, I knew that he was under the Spirit of God. Give you an example of what happened. I never will forget. We were in Bristol, Pennsylvania, and we had some friends that would come and support us, and help us in some areas and, watch the record table. And we had an open date, and Mr. Johnson just wanted a place for us to go and sing. So we went to Bristol, Pennsylvania, and we did an open door program. But our friend, she had been sick, and she had been paralyzed from the waist down for 3 months. And that night we sung, I never will forget it, "What Could Go Wrong Did Go Wrong." And he turned around. Now, mind you, he had had a previous stroke in the past, so I always kept my eyes on him, making sure he was doing okay and things of that nature. And he looked back, I never will forget, he looked back at the cross, at a cross that was at the church. And when he looked back, he turned around. I said, "Pop, you all right?" He didn't say nothing to me. He turned around and he called for them to wheel that young lady up. And he said, "We getting ready to see America tonight." And he called all the sisters, all the women of God, to come and lay hands on her. And when they laid hands on her, prayed for her, laid hands on her, prayed for her, brother, I tell you the truth, that young lady, they got her out of the chair. I got a lot more to the story, but I'm trying to make it brief. They got her out of the chair. And when they got out of the chair, they were literally, one lady was on one leg and one lady's on the other leg. And they were praying. And one lady was moving her leg, trying to help her walk, like therapy. Brother, I said, "What are they doing?" The Lord told me to be quiet because I asked you to pray for it and you didn't do it. God, they walked her around that sanctuary. And when they walked her around that sanctuary, they let her go. And she started walking again, brother. This is not TBN. This is not no crusade under a tent nowhere. This is not a plan. This was God Himself. And Doc, I tell you the truth, we were so grateful to see that young lady walking again. And we knew it was a nothing but the power and the anointing and a miracle from God to see her walking again. And that happened, not at a revival. That happened not at Sunday morning service. That happened at a gospel quartet musical. And if a person cannot be saved and healed and delivered and set free at a gospel musical, I might as well just stop singing because I witnessed that with my own eyes. It was amazing. Amazing thing, Doc. So mixing the two, I'm very afraid because there are so many people that need to be saved and delivered. So I'm with you. I'm concerned about people mixing the two. Just be honest with me.
Yeah, I'll tell you, that was interesting to hear. You know, I like to hear those kind of testimonies. Even gospel artists, people, you hear testimonies about, people want to commit suicide or whatever, but they hear a song that a quartet singer done sung, and that bring them through. And so just things like that, I'm very grateful to hear. And, me personally now, I just, like I said, sometimes I kind of cringe when people talk about the competitive nature and entertainment. I say, man, to me, just my opinion, it seems like you okay, ministry, competition, and entertainment. It seems like the entertainment and competition, it just drowns out the ministry. That's just me. But listen to some people, no, I ain't knocking them, but it just seemed like you could just blend those three together and still be affected by, man. Like I said, when I hear people talk like that, I just kind of cringe, but nowadays people are very open about that. I know back in the days, people didn't like quartets in their church. They couldn't stand quartets because they didn't think they was living what they were singing about. But now in
but
this
you know
day,
what's in okay. But you know what's interesting about that? If we take a real close look, at everything that we do and everything that goes on in ministry, man, there are a lot of things that are not doing like they should be doing, though. There are false prophets. There are false preachers.
Yes.
There are a lot of things going on in ministry. There are missionaries. There are evangelists. There are, not just quartet, but choirs. I mean, there are a lot of things out there. We can't just point one finger. And the only reason why quartet gets the beating is because quartet was the sound of gospel for so many years. Quartet, when nobody else would travel and sing, it was the quartet getting into a car, a four-door car, six guys traveling together. I remember the Soul Stirrers used to travel in a Cadillac. I can go on and on, dog. These guys was traveling in the bologna sandwiches. Doc, I can tell you some stories, my brother. And not just stories. I've heard, but some things I live through myself, because when you're traveling out here and the money ain't right, man, and you got to sleep in one room together to have at least a decent place to stay or sleep in the van, take a shower at the truck stop, even though it's not fun, but Doc, when you believe what God has called you to do, Doc, you got to do what you got to do.
Oh, yeah. Yes, indeed.
Yes.
So we have the, speaking of Pastor Tory Dorsett of the Texas Keynote. So can you tell us how did the Texas Keynotes come about and who all are your members?
Well, what happened You asked earlier if the spiritual five are still singing, and Granddad asked me to carry on, but before Granddad passed in 2012, well, when I came back home, I when I left to go on the road with the Keynotes, I was already singing lead. I was already a lead singer, but also I was playing guitar. And so when I went on the road with the Keynotes, I came back and I started back singing with my group, the Spiritual Five. And in 2012, we were blessed to record a record with Dr. Norwood, Evelyn Turrentine, A.G., and my brother, I call him, and we've adopted each other, Cecil Washington of the Texas Boys. So we did a recording. And our lead singer, one of the original lead singers for the Keynotes, the gospel Keynotes, Five Ways of Joy, named the Keynotes when they went to Nashville Records, Ernie Young, Reverend J.D. Talley is one of the originals. In fact, he's the last originals that's still alive. And then we have another gentleman by the name of Lonnie. He used to play guitar with the group, but Reverend J.D. Talley was one of the other original lead singers. He called me and he said, "Hey son, how you doing?" I said, "Hey Papa, how you doing?" You know, because I love him too. And he said, "Ain't much of anything." He said, "Well, I want to come and sing with you a little bit." I said, "Papa, you don't need to sing with me. You need to be singing by yourself." I said, "You need to be singing by yourself." And this is interesting why we're doing this interview today, because this was in 2012 he called me. And I said, "Well, Pop, why don't we organize a group for you to sing?" I said, "We can put this thing together, and when I'm not busy, I can play guitar for you." He said, "Well, who gonna sing with us?" I said, "You gonna be lead singing." And I said, "I play guitar and sing background." And I said, "I got some more guys we can put together. We can make a good group." And he said, "Well, what are we gonna call ourselves?" I said, "We're gonna call ourselves the Texas Keynotes with Reverend J.D. Talley." He said, "Boy, that sounds pretty good." I said, "Well, hey, God gave it to me." And I said, "We're gonna record a song. I'm not at liberty. I'm not gonna share the song that we was gonna record. It was gonna be huge because the record company that the Spiritual Five was with was super excited about recording Reverend J.D. Talley with the Texas Keynotes. And we was getting ready to put out a monster song that was previously recorded and a featured singer to sing on it with us. It was going to be nice. But it didn't last long. It didn't last long. So Brother Tadaro Jackson, which is one of is our tenor singer from DeRidder, Louisiana, and he would call me and say, "Hey bro, we need to go and sing. A lady want us to come and sing, and can you come and sing lead for me?" I said, "Well, y'all come and sing." And so we kept doing that every so often when people would call him. And one day and for years, a lot of people think this we just started doing this. When Pop Johnson passed in 01, the Holy Spirit had been on me about singing lead for the Keynotes. So through that time, I would call different ones, the different guys that had their sets. I said, "Let me come and sing lead for you, and let me come sing lead for you." And most of them said, "Well, we don't want to do the Willie thing, or we don't want to do, you know, we don't, we got it, we got enough singers." And I said, okay. And I would literally tell God, "Now, God, you know, you on me about this." I said, "Now, you know, they didn't accept me, so I just need to lead us along, you know." But then when we got Rev, you know, I thought that would satisfy the appetite or the yearning that I had. But then when Rev, when he got busy in what he was already doing, and me and Brother Tadaro, the Lord said, "You need to take this group over and move forward." And I'm like, "No, I don't want to do this. I got my group. I got the Spiritual Five." And he just kept pushing me, kept pushing me. And he said, "You could do both groups." I'm like, how does that look? And then we went sung, to make a long story short, we went sung for a gentleman's benefit program. No, we went sung for another lady. And when we went sung for this other lady in Newton, Texas, we got three bookings out of that. And I'm like, Lord, this was just supposed to be something that we were just doing. We weren't doing this as a, as an ongoing thing. And then they called us to come to this gentleman's benefit program. And when we went, we got seven bookings
Oh, man.
after we started that. And I'm like, Lord, what do we do? Lord said, hey, what do you do? You better do what I've been calling you to do all this time. And ever since then, I've been able to sleep at night. My heart is at ease. And the Lord has just been using us beyond measure. So this has been 20 years in the making. It's not something that we just decided we were just going to do. I've given everybody an opportunity. I gave them a chance to let me come in and sing, but they felt as though that they had it together, which they did. They're doing a beautiful job. But people want the sound. They want the brand of the keynotes. And I say this humbly, and I say this with the assurance of what I know. The brand of the keynotes was always Paul Beasley and Willie Neal Johnson. That was the sound. Everything else that came along was like the sides, should I say. But the entree was the sound of Paul Beasley and Willie Neal Johnson. And I think if people actually think about it, they will agree. So it took off after that. So everything else now is it's become history now. It's just history in the making. But a lady, we went sung in DeRidder here in October, and a lady had me crying because I told them that we had Paul Beasley and we had the gentleman Michael Jackson. I know you know Michael Jackson from DeRidder. And then the Lord gave us to Darryl Jackson. And that is just overwhelming to me. And a lady made the statement. She said, we finally see history repeats itself. She said, with you, Pastor Tory, and with Brother Tadaro Jackson, history is repeating itself. And I'm honored to be a part of that, and I'm honored that the Lord will use me to do that in such a time as this. So it's been a great journey, man. It's been a great journey.
Oh yes, there is something, yeah. And speaking of Paul Beasley, he well, recently passed away. And let me tell you something now. And I was back when I was still living in the river. Anytime Paul come into town, that was a big thing. And
Oh,
it
God,
was,
yeah.
and I tell you, that says a lot about him. Even though he was well known, he always, he always had time to come back to the river.
He
And
always had time. That's right.
yeah, so he didn't let the fame and all that stuff go to his head. He
Oh, he didn't do
No,
that.
he just very down to earth. I tell you, like I said, it was a big thing when Paul come down. Even when Paul Beasley came down, and even with his set of keynotes, that's the first time I met Gino. Well, that had to been, well, I can't remember. Yeah, that's the first time I saw Gino, and I tell you, it was. I don't know what to tell you, it was just something. Anytime Paul come back to the river, that was major. And
Major that.
Yeah, so that says a lot about Paul. So you sung with Mr. Paul Beasley. So what was it like singing with Paul and so you sung with both Paul Beasley and Willie Nelson. So what was it like, traveling down the road with Paul Beasley?
Man, amazing. You would think of a man in that caliber, he would be arrogant. He would be, standoffish. Me and Paul had some of the best fun on the road. And even in this latter time, he made, me and him got together and he was getting ready to record some songs with us here recently. But of course, the Lord called him home beforehand. But to be on the road with Paul, and see, I didn't just play with Paul with just him and Willie. I even played with Paul thereafter as well. I would go to Mississippi with him. I met him in Louisiana. Went to Georgia with him a couple of times. I would still travel with Paul because I loved him that much. But to be on the road with both of them, it was just amazing. I remember being in Brooklyn, and we didn't have Gino at the time. And when we pulled up to the church, it was at one of the biggest historical church in Brooklyn. And when we pulled up to the church, that was a food, a chicken shack, I believe, across the street or somewhere. And we all looked out the window and I said, "Man, there go Gino. There go Gino. Is that Gino?" And Willie said, "Is that Gino? Is that Gino? Oh, somebody go get him." And brother, let me tell you something. That place was so packed in Brooklyn. They say they turned away 1,000 people. It was just that packed. And it took us, I never will forget. A lot of people didn't recognize, they didn't know who we were because, well, they definitely me on the drama because we were the kind of the new kids on the block, right? And it took us about 15 minutes to get to the stage. You know how you walk into a sanctuary and you walk straight to the stage. We couldn't even do that. We literally had we had to squeeze through people to get to the stage. It was just that bad. And when we got on stage, I had completely forgot that Gino was there and that that we had saw him, right? When they say the gospel keynotes, Gino comes on stage with Paul, Willie, and Jeffrey. Now that was another starstruck time for me because I said, "Lord, I'm on stage with Gino, Paul, and Willie, and Jeff." And doctor, when I say that background was something sweet, oh my God. Gino's baritone was so amazing. He had the subwoofers rumbling, man. I never will forget it. And it was so amazing, man. I thoroughly enjoyed that night, man. And I just couldn't thank God enough for it. But we sung that night, man, and it was just amazing. And everybody was at the stage. It was just amazing, man. And the Lord used us in a mighty way. And you could tell when Willie was happy about how we sounded or what we did. He was just so happy, about what was going on. He had all his fellas back, and he loved the musicians that he had. Bal Alexander at the time was teaching, he was working and also teaching guitar lessons on the side. So it was definitely a great thing. But being on the road with Paul and Willie was just, it was, you're starstruck, but then you got kind of used to it because, the way you break the ice with somebody is that you tease them. I can tell you about a couple of things that Paul used to do to me on stage. I remember One night I was playing, and every so often he would lean over to me. You get so out of tune. You get so out of tune. You get so out of tune. And then at one that night, it had just got so irritating. And he said, "You need to get that guitar in tune. You out of tune. You out of tune." And I said, "No, you singing out of tune." Dog, Paul, you look. I said, "Oh Lord, he mad at me." So what I did, so after we got done, I said, "Let me take my time getting to the dressing room," because I said, "I know Bees is talking about me." So when I get to the dressing room, I when I get to the door, he, "Your guitar player gotta go, Willie. Your guitar player gotta go. I'm sick of him. I'm sick of him. I'm trying to tell him to get out of tune." He So boy, I was so hurt. So when I walked in, I seen Mr. Johnson. He was smirking to his face like, "I don't know what Paul's thinking, but I ain't getting rid of this boy. He better fix that guitar." But it was so funny. But we all laughed about it later, because I told him when I went out with him afterwards, I said, "Please, remember when I told you was singing out of tune?" He just bust out laughing. It was just so funny. We just had so much fun. But that's when you know how to take those times where you have those challenges and disagreements, you take those and turn them into joy, you know. So yeah, that was one of the times. So yeah, we had some great times, brother.
Oh yeah, I'll tell you something about Donner, Paul Beasley was. I remember they came to the river. No, like I said, I had the privilege to play behind him when
Really?
he come to the river. At least two occasions when he had Gino with him. No,
Yeah.
I
Now, what do
was
you
there.
play?
I play on lead guitar.
Lead guitar. Okay. Yeah. And did you
Me,
make
that
the trip
was.
to Asheville?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Good. 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 I imagine we've met each other down the road.
Yeah,
It has. It's been some years. We probably both had hats that time,
like I said, it was just a honor to play behind him. And
Oh, yeah, Doc.
somehow
Yeah, Doc.
down earth he was. I remember Paul came to me. I thought he was joking. Like, no, he just had on a dress shirt and some slacks, some dress pants, whatever. And
Oh, yeah.
he came up to me. He said, "Hey, let me on wear your vest." So I ain't saying nothing. I thought he was just joking. And I saw a look on his
Right.
face. I'm okay. So I took my vest off and let him wear it. I said, "Man, that was an honor just for me." I mean, that may sound
Right,
small,
right, right.
for
Right, right.
wear my vest, and they fit him just fine. You know that. You know the stuff like that. You know that it goes a long ways. That's just, you
Go a
know, that's
long
just
ways, Doc.
the kind of man he was there.
Them old timers, man, they believed in dressing, man. A lot of the newer groups these days, they just get up on stage with anything. And those old timers taught me that when you go on stage and present yourself to people, be classy about it. Yeah. So yeah, that's some good stuff, man. That's good stuff.
Yes, indeed. It was, speaking of Pastor Docetta of the Texas Keynotes, if somebody want to book you, how can they get in touch with the group that they want to bring the Texas Keynotes to their town?
Yes, we have a contact number that people can use if they want to book the Texas Keynotes. And that number is 903 284 5757. Again, 903 284 5757.
I tell you this, just like the lady said, it really is like history repeating itself. You know, just I was able to, watch the Texas keynotes online. I was looking at a couple of videos. I said, man, y'all ain't just started yesterday. You can tell, y'all been at this for a good while. Just by what I'm seeing and hearing,
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
and I'm out.
Doctor.
Glad y'all keeping the tradition going, and you're not being, that's the main thing, not being fazed by the naysayers. That's why I'm glad you're able to tell
Right.
your story, how the Texas keynotes, come about. And I know people might say, oh, I'm passing another set of keynotes, but okay, that's fine. But let's just hear it out, just see, see what happens. No, there's a lot that goes on,
Right.
yeah. And I'm glad you're able to tell your story, how it all will come about, and your
Oh, yes.
lineage
Oh, yes.
to
Oh,
the
yes. Oh, yes.
people and Paul. So I'm glad all that came out,
Yes, sir. I'm glad it did too. Again, and I've said this before in other settings. Well, a couple of things. One thing in particular. We're not trying to take nobody's position. We're happy for all the sets of keynotes. Won't, point at anyone in particular. We just know what God has called us to do. And that's why we're focused on what we're doing. If we spend our time worrying about what they're doing and what they're striving to do, maybe God has called them to do what they're doing for their time. That's their business, and everybody has their place and everybody was gifted in the keynotes. We were blessed. I mean, we can give a, go down the list. Great singers with the gospel keynotes. But we know what God has called us to do. And this group was definitely organized by me in 2012 due to the relationship with the record company that was getting ready to record the group. But we wanted to continue. And how can you deny when people booking you? And the other thing is, it's the keynote is her own style within herself. She has a style, and everybody does not understand her style. Everybody does not understand, the keynote's brand and there's only a few guitar players that can actually play the keynote sound, and I know you know that it's a unit. It's simple, but it has its. You got to know what you're doing, and I thank God for all the guitar players that we've had in the past, and I thank God for the guitar player that we have today, that was actually with Mr. Johnson, when I left the keynotes and started preaching, but came back home for the ministry. I was actually going back, but my good friend, my brother Tyrone Sanders, better known as Homie, he played on Country Boy Goes Home too, and I was so grateful, and I'm so grateful now that he was blessed to be on that record with Pop Johnson that year. I actually was gonna go back even after that record had came out, and so many things. We had a great future. Things were getting ready to take off in 2001, but he left us beforehand, and God knew what he was doing. God knew what he was doing, and so I can't thank God enough for that. And I want to say this, and I've said this once before. What Tyler, what LA, California, and New York City is to people is what Tyler, Texas, and DeRidder, Louisiana means to me. What LA, what people are fascinated by going to LA and fascinated by going to New York. When I go to Tyler, Texas, and when I go to DeRidder, Louisiana, that's how I feel when I go to those places. Because to birth a Willie Nelson Johnson and to birth a Paul Beasley that have traveled all over the world, that is amazing. That is truly amazing. So I can't thank God enough for my history and my birth with the keynotes. I found out recently here by a gentleman of my relationship and kinship to Mr. Willie No Johnson that I was never aware of. I was no, shame on me. I was told, but you know when people tell you you're related to somebody, you know those old folks always related to everybody, right? That's your cousin, that's your cousin, that's your cousin. He's like, really? Everybody can't be related to me. But sure enough, after doing research, I did see the connection to our family. And so it's a reward. It's definitely a reward. It's definitely a reward.
Oh yeah. Yeah, we'll get on to here. I'm gonna give you any more final words before we sign off. Anything else you want to share with the people?
Well, first off, I want to thank you so much. I'm getting back into exercise, and I want to apologize to the audience that's viewing. I'm in my car. I'm actually getting ready to run into the gym. I'm trying to stay as healthy as I possibly can. The older we get, the more we got to stay in the gym. But I want to thank you, my brother, for bringing me on, and I'm gonna make sure I let my tenor singer know, Mr. Darrell Jackson, that I did come on with you. And I want to thank you again. But I want to encourage those that are viewing to please continue to pray for us, continue to keep us lifted before the Lord, and keep on the lookout. We have a project coming out. We're getting ready to release a single real soon. Songs that I wrote a song for Mr. Johnson back when I was with him, and he had considered recording it on Country Boy Goes Home Too, but when I left, they kind of rearranged on what they were doing. So I'm going to go ahead and record that song that I wrote for him. But just keep praying for us. Keep praying for all the families. As I said before, on another platform, we are the Keynotes. The Keynotes is a big family, and we love them all. We love all the Keynotes. Everyone that has that definitely been on stage with Mr. Willie Neil Johnson, we thank God for them. Brother Tadara Jackson is one out of few that I respect as a keynote. He was blessed and has been blessed to sing with every set of keynotes on the road. He is the only tenor singer that has been blessed to sing with every set of keynotes on the road. So I thank God for him. And I thank God that the Lord used him in this hour, and he's doing a fine job. Again, we have brother Tyrone Sanders, better known as Homie. He's our guitar player. We have his brother, they're twins, brother Jerome Sanders. I call him Professor. He's our bass player, and their cousin, brother Dale San Dale Banks. Excuse me, Dale Banks. He's our drummer. We call him Pocket. And brother Jason Livingston, he sings with us as well. We call him Shoes. And all of those gentlemen are from Tyler, Texas. And you have me, brother Tory Doucette, a Pastor Tory, just trying to keep the legacy alive. So keep us lifted up before the Lord, and we will be praying for all of you as well. God bless you.
All right, I want to thank you all for tuning in to the Raw Spiel. Thanks to Pastor Tory Doucette for the
Yes,
Texas
sir.
keynote. Till next time. Well, first of all, I want to hope y'all got something out of this broadcast, and hope y'all enjoyed it as much as I have. And till next time, God bless you all. You take care.